Well, greetings and grace to you from God, our King, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Again, amen. Well, we're doing a sermon on the Beatitudes, which is also called the Sermon on the Mount. Why? Because he preached it on a mountain, right? We read here over in Matthew chapter 5, from which I'm preaching. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. And so, can you picture yourself up there on the mountain, in the mountains there, up amongst the rocky crags, up in the lofty heights, you can feel the air is cooler, and you have this great vista upon which you can see perhaps the Sea of Galilee far below you, and the lowlands and the hills, and there he is up amongst the mountains in this high and lofty place, sits down and teaches his disciples concerning the coming kingdom of God. And if you'll remember, in those days, the Pharisees, the scribes, pretty much were teaching an outward show of righteousness. You know, according to the ceremonial law, you'd look good by doing these kinds of things. But this sermon, Jesus reveals about Christ's kingdom, is about the inward heart, the character of those who are members, to be members of that kingdom. He's talking about the heart, the attitude of the Christian. And so last week we looked at the first of his words, verse 3, and today we're going to look at his next part, verse 4, where Jesus says this. We'll read it now. Jesus said to them, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." So blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. What does that mean, do you think? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It seems kind of strange, doesn't it? I mean, it's like saying, happy are you when you're sad. You know, it's like a reverse. It's like, what are you talking about here, Jesus? Blessed am I when I mourn? What's that mean? Well, you look at the word there for mourn in the Greek is pentheo. Can you say that in Greek? Pentheo, which means to mourn, to lament, to grieve, to bewail, to be sad, to be sorrowful, to experience grief as a result of depressing circumstances or the condition of persons. To be sad, to grieve, to weep, to sorrow, to grieve. This is actually, God says, Jesus says, a good thing. Really? Isn't that strange? I mean, all the Beatitudes, all the Sermon on the Mount is actually about things opposite from the way the world thinks. Think about it. Blessed are you when you're poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you're meek. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. Blessed are you when men revile, persecute you, and cast out your name as evil. I mean, this is all the opposite of what you'd normally think in the world, right? Things that you normally think are not blessed. Jesus is saying, these are blessed things for those who are inheriting my kingdom to be. And so our culture is really not into this, is it? Mourning, weeping. I mean, our culture is just like, doesn't want anything to do with it. I mean, I think of that song from Dick Van Dyke, Tony Bennett, you know, how's it going? Spread sunshine all over the place and put on a happy face, right? We don't want anything to do with mourning or crying or tears. You even come to a funeral, right? The biggest place for tears, and people are afraid to cry. Not, you know, other cultures of the world, not so big a deal. But in America, you don't even want to be seen crying at a funeral for your own family. I mean, it's something we just don't want to do. And we often, you know, take the dead out of sight as quickly as possible. And a lot of times even have a party in the reception, say, oh, old Jeb would have loved a party. So he'd love for us to be happy here. We don't want to cry. We don't want to mourn. We don't want to weep. Such is our culture. But you know what Jesus says here? It's good to mourn. And it's something very pleasing in God's sight. Isn't that interesting? So what's that mean? Well, you know, some people might want to interpret this as saying, blessed are those who mourn, mean Christians should be, you know, sad all the time, right? Or depressed, or go around moping like this is the picture of a Christian, you know? And you have these deep, dark set eyes, and you're just down all the time. Is that what it means to be mourning, to be troubled and serious and downcast and negative? Well, a lot of people have interpreted it that way. wrongly so, but like in Luther's day, Martin Luther, there was a guy named, a prince, his name was Prince William of Anhalt, and he took it this way. He got rid of being a prince, gave all that up, became a beggar friar, and gave up all his worldly goods, and Luther wrote this. He said, with my own eyes I saw him. I was 14 years old at Magdeburg. I saw him carrying a sack like a donkey. He had so worn himself down by fasting and vigil that he looked like a death's head, mere bone and skin. No one could even look upon him without feeling ashamed of his own life, right? This guy thought that means to just be sad your whole life long. Is that what Jesus means by blessed are you who mourn? You know what the trouble with that is? It just doesn't jive with the rest of Scripture, does it? Jesus says, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? In other words, my disciples are rejoicing because I'm with them. Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Is that what a Christian's supposed to be about? There's a rejoicing, right? And David said in Psalm 27, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me, and I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. So certainly joy is a big part of the Christian life. It can't mean that you're just miserable by nature. That can't mean what Jesus is talking about here, obviously, right? God has not got a kingdom prepared for you in heaven where everybody's just moping around, walking around all sad all the time. It's ridiculous. It's not what he's talking about. So what is, look at Paul. He was struck down, beaten up, bleeding, shipwrecked, facing robbers, imprisoned, attacked, persecuted, jailed, and crushed. And yet nobody rejoiced like Paul, right? So obviously it doesn't mean we're just to be sad by nature. So what's Jesus talking about here? What does he mean? What are we to mourn? What are we to be sorrowful over? Answer? Sins, right? We're to be grieving over sin. That's what he means here. Blessed are you who mourn, who are feeling the weight, the burden, the sorrow over the seriousness of sin in your own life and in the lives of other people that are around you and in the world. And you look, and this is a characteristic of the heart of the people who belong to Christ's kingdom that's coming, that you mourn and groan over sin and grieve of it, of the terrible reality of it. And you know why? You know why? Because you're actually agreeing with God's perspective on sin at this point. He grieves over it. He is pained by looking at sin. And he realizes the terrible reality of sin and its fruit. So when you're mourning, you're actually agreeing with God. It's mourning over your own sin. For example, let's look at David. David says in Psalm 32, when I declared not my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. You ever felt like that? Where you've like sinned and you didn't confess it yet, and you are just like, he says, my strength, day and night, God, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. You ever feel like that? That's a good thing, to mourn over your own sin and to be grieved over it. Then he declared his sin and God forgave him his sin, but he grieved, he mourned, he groaned, he wept, he cried over his own falling short of God's glory, his miserable sins. Look at what God says in Joel. He says, yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Who knows whether he'll not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him. So, do you feel that? Do you mourn over your sin? This is a good thing. Blessed are those who mourn. And you also can mourn and weep, you're called to, for the sins of other people around you and for the world. Do you know in Isaiah chapter 22, God's people had done abominable practices in Israel, in Jerusalem, horrible things. And God says to them, he called them to repent, but he says, in that day, the Lord God of hosts called to weeping and mourning. He called you to it. to baldness and girding on of sackcloth. But behold, what did he see? Joy and gladness. Slaying of oxen, killing of sheep, eating flesh, drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. They were partying it up in a day when they should have been crying over their sin. And God says, the Lord of hosts has revealed himself in my ears. Surely this iniquity will not be forgiven you till you die, says the Lord God of hosts. And so, what is the characteristic of the world, of people who are not belonging to God's kingdom? They laugh when they should be crying, right? Right? When they are sinning and they're in some sort of debauchery, they're just partying it up, laughing, drinking, having a great time, not mourning over their sin. Can I give you a human example? An example of this example? All right. Take, for example, last summer. You remember the Scottish decision, the Supreme Court decision? June 26th, 2015, in the case of Obergefell Fell versus Hodges, our Supreme Court justices overturned many state constitutions which said marriage is to be one man, one woman, right, is marriage. Now it can be two women get married or two men get married. And that was the decision, with some of the judges dissenting and criticizing their own court. But I want to ask you, what was the result in the country? Some people took to the streets laughing, rejoicing, partying it up, with banners flying and having a huge, like, ticker tape parade celebrating this sin that was now approved in the country. The other crowd, the other half of America, if you will, or more, wept and cried and felt great grievances and pains of heart for where the country was going. Not because they hate the people, but because they feel the grieving of the consequences, the dire, terrible consequences of sin, right? One same situation, some people are laughing, some people are crying and mourning. And this is, the way it is in the world. There are two different types of people, two different families. There are the Christians and the non-Christians, the believers and the unbelievers, those of the world and those of the kingdom to come. One laughs while the other cries. The other cries while the other laughs. Right? If you go to a comedian, a raunchy, raunchy comedian, the world erupts in this uproarious laughter and loves it and parties it up. What does the Christian do? Turns his head away and just feels grieved in his heart for that, right? Whereas, you might have some guy stand up for the truth, and the Christians are laughing and rejoicing, hooray! Whereas the world is crying, and they're grieved, and they're angry over it. There are these two clashings. What God's calling us here to in this Sermon on the Mount is to mourn over sin. He says that is a good thing. It's a characteristic of the members of my kingdom that they weep and lament over their own sins. And let me ask you, anybody here perfect tonight? Right? Don't you still feel this? Don't you feel this angst and this terrible trouble in your heart, like, oh my goodness, oh my God, I'm never perfect. I hate this sin in me. I hate it. Oh, I mourn over it. Oh God, when will I be free from this? Right? That's beautiful, God says, because you're agreeing with me. You're agreeing that sin is despicable and wrong, and that is a holy and pleasing thing in my sight, that you're having the struggle. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says. You shall be comforted. And so there is a good grief, Charlie Brown, right? There's a good grief. Paul says, as it is, I rejoice, he wrote to the Corinthians, not because you are grieved, but because you are grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret, but worldly grief produces death. Isn't that true? All right, if you're feeling grief and mourning, that's holy. It's leading you to life. It's leading you to salvation. And the world, on the other hand, isn't interested. God's judgment to come is just nothing to them. But God says, blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. When my kingdom comes, you'll rejoice. But to the party hardies right now, woe to you that laugh now, for you on that day shall mourn and weep when the great day of God the Almighty comes. Right? And so Jesus says it's good to mourn. Why? Because blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. God says, I'm going to come and I am the God of mourners. I'm the God of people who are grieved over their sin. And I come to bless you. The word for comfort there is parakaleo. Can you say that? Parakaleo in the Greek, which means I come to aid you. I come to help you. I come to comfort you. I come to encourage you. I come to console you. I come to come alongside of you who mourn. Jesus promises to comfort us. Wasn't Jesus, despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? He was of that same ilk too. And not because of his own sin, but because of ours. And you know, in the Old Testament, there's a scene where God is about to come in and destroy Jerusalem. I mean, he's furious. They've sinned up, right, left, sideways, up and down, okay? And God has a whole bunch of angels in Ezekiel's vision who are ready to go in and bring his vengeance upon the city. But let me read to you what God says here in Ezekiel chapter 9. Verse 4, God says, and the Lord said to one of the angels, go through the city, through Jerusalem, and put a mark upon the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are committed in Jerusalem. And then he sends the angels out, and he says, slay old men outright, your eye shall not spare, young men and maidens, little children and women, but touch no one upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So guess who gets saved? The people who are crying over the sins of the city. God says, these are mine. Angels, don't you touch them. They will be saved, right? And the rest will be gotten. And in the New Testament, who were the ones that were blessed? Remember that scene where Jesus goes into the house of a Pharisee, has some dinner, and a woman of the street comes in, a prostitute, if you will, probably, and she falls at Jesus' feet and weeps. Mourning, right? Weeps at his feet, washes it with her hair. She's in repentance. Oh, what a terrible, terrible sinner I am. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. And what does Jesus say to her? She's comforted, right? Your faith has saved you, woman. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Blessed are you who mourn. You're going to be comforted. God's going to bring you out of your discomfort and bring you into joy, actually. Draw near to God, says James. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will do what? Exalt you, right? If you mourn, good things are coming your way from God. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, Jesus says. And I've come, according to Isaiah 9, he says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God. Watch this. This is straight out of the Sermon on the Mount. To comfort all who mourn. It's right there in Isaiah. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So the world, when it's laughing, is missing out. When they cry over their sin and when we mourn over it, guess what? God's going to turn your mourning into dancing, into joy. He says, this is great. I'm going to come alongside you, help you, aid you, comfort you, console you, bless you in every way. I'm going to take away your crying when you mourn over sin because he comes to forgive our sin. Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, right? What are we mourning over again? Sin. What did Jesus do? Came to take away our sins, to forgive you your sins, which turns what? Your mourning into dancing, your tears of sorrow, and now tears of joy. This is a beautiful thing. Jesus says, truly I say to you, to his disciples, you know, you will weep and lament when I go to the cross. The world's going to rejoice. You'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow is going to turn into joy. And you have sorrow now, but I'll see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will be able to take your joy away from you. It's an eternal joy to those who mourn. Yea, O people in Zion, who dwell at Jerusalem, says Isaiah, you shall weep no more. He'll be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Revelation says God is going to wipe away tears from our faces, from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Can you see the kingdom tonight? I mean, by your vision of your faith, just looking and seeing that city. Do you know what joy God has planned for you? Everlasting? You who weep over your sin today will rejoice tomorrow. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. God says, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. And this is your God speaking to you about this. Believe me. Of the wicked it will be said, they will weep. There you shall weep and gnash your teeth, God says to the wicked. But to those who sow in tears, they will reap with shouts of joy. For he that goes forth weeping, bearing the seed for the sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. For guess what? God is going to, he says, I will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he'll take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. And finally, David says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my adversaries, enemies round about me. And I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. So the Sermon on the Mount, this word is about the heart, the character, the attitude of the Christian, those who are members of Christ's kingdom. There is a good grief, Charlie Brown, right? Grief over sin. But God turns it into rejoicing in the Savior who takes away our sins and forgives us and gives us eternal life by grace. And joy forever in his kingdom, which has no end. In Jesus' name, amen.